Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season. Welcome back to our Advent podcast, where we are reading the first Advent in Palestine. I am Pastor Jill.
Rachel James, Director of Children, Youth, and Family here at First Lutheran.
Today we are on the seventh chapter, and in this chapter we move even to a different gospel reading. We're moving into the book of Matthew, and the idea of Joseph. He doesn't get quite a lot of attention. We spend so much time talking about Mary, but he had a very important role to play here. And before we get into Joseph, though, I want to talk a little bit more about what I learned about Herod, because he's a force, and it seems like God is really leaning on Joseph to help protect this little family. And on page 111, the author writes, "The political insecurity that fueled Herod on these multiple fronts further endangered those he ruled. Insecure and tyrannical leaders were part of the first Advent and have been part of most Advents since." So we think of Herod as a bad guy, but I like her perspective that she painted him as an insecure person. And that gave me a perspective on most of the world leaders today. And I was thinking, it's not hard to start naming names of people who are behaving as a bully in this world, but perhaps they really are insecure.
Absolutely. And Herod being Jewish, but living on his own ways, not following what was it. He was spending money trying to get Jewish people to accept him and appreciate him, but they never really did.
No, and at the same time, he's scary because he's ferocious and bloodthirsty and so bent on keeping his own power that he just makes everybody bow to him, even if, you know, by breaking their legs if he has to. I think that I don't necessarily want to call people out here, but I think it's not hard for everybody who's listening to think about those individuals that try to lord power over others. And where does their insecurity come from? And it seems like maybe Herod's insecurity, like you said, was his ancestry and how he got power in the first place. And maybe he was afraid what would happen if he lost the power. He probably was afraid. People would come after him. And maybe that's what most leaders are afraid of, that are behaving that way.
It's also interesting that they called Herod the king of the Jews. Earlier we heard how Caesar was called the son of God, and now Herod, Caesar's representative, is called king of the Jews. And we know that those names are later applied to Jesus as the son of God and the king of the Jews. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, good point.
So anyway, Joseph is here living under Herod's tyrannical reign, and it describes him in Matthew as a righteous man, and we don't know a whole lot about him other than his generations, his lineage is listed out in this chapter and in Matthew. And what I didn't know before I read this book was the idea that because Mary and Joseph were betrothed, he had probably already paid the dowry, the bride price. He maybe had already started building on to the house to make room for her, and he had spent considerable money. And there was allotment in the law that he could have, when he got divorced, asked for money back from the other family. He could have gone to court and said, I need my bride pay price, my dowry, maybe building expenses. And that was normal and allowed. So when it says in Matthew, he decided to put her away quietly, that's what it means. It means he wasn't going to make a big show of it. But when Joseph decided to not do that, he was showing his righteousness and he was sacrificing for Mary. And then the angel comes to Joseph. What's interesting is it's not a conversation like it is with Mary. When Gabriel comes to Mary, Mary asks questions, the angel answers, Mary gives an affirmative, but Joseph's just sleeping, just dreaming away, and probably an unrestful sleep because he's worried. And the angel comes and Joseph agrees to take Mary and to also give Jesus his name and to accept him into the family. So the righteousness of Joseph starts before the story, and he shows that he is able to be that protector and that caring person.
Yeah, I would love to hear more of Joseph's voice. He must have really struggled with a lot of things, but he sounds like just such a kind-hearted person.
Absolutely. And he had real sacrifice, monetary sacrifice, but also reputation sacrifice. People knew him, and if he would have just divorced Mary, her name would have been sullied, but his would have been kept clean. But by going on and marrying, I bet most people in the time thought he was complicit in some sort of sin, but he wasn't. And so he really had to sacrifice to make this happen.
Right. So he gave up a lot, and he did it for God. And so I think there's probably a lot of unsung heroes out there. We don't know everybody's dreams and what God is calling them to do. And it's so easy to judge people from the outside and say, well, they made a bad choice.
Right.
I wouldn't have done that. You know, if he's bringing disgrace on himself, is he also bringing disgrace on his family?
Right.
And yet he just quietly did what was needed for Mary and Jesus and God's plan. So definitely, he did some hard things. And he was acting in a way that we might even call holy, because he was trying hard to do the right thing. And that brings me to page 121, the last paragraph. We read, "The first advent revealed that leaning into God's coming justice puts people at odds with society's and religion's definitions of holiness." And that really tripped me up, because I can imagine how society has the wrong definition of holiness, being wealthy or powerful or exhibiting things publicly. But how is religion incorrectly defining holiness? And that hits me, because we work for a church. And so it makes me start to reflect, are we as a church at all advocating things that don't align with God's holiness? Or how could we do more? And I think about some of our social ministries, or like the children, for example. A lot of the people that are under your umbrella of ministry, they don't financially contribute to the church, and yet they're still worthy of our service. And we won't always know what's going on in their homes, but I hope that our holiness aligns with God's definition of holiness.
You know, Pastor Jill, that makes me think about how we've heard in the last years we've been serving here together, people come and tell us stories of church hurt that they had from years past, whether they were denied confirmation or they were told they can't be a leader because they were divorced or because who knows what. And that makes me think of religion set up a barrier and said, this is a standard. And people carry that for a long time. And so it's so wonderful to be able to see how God's holiness is beyond that. And we can, sometimes we get the opportunity to heal those church hurts and offer grace. And for anyone who's listening who didn't get their church hurts healed, I'm so sorry for you. But think of the ways that Joseph, he was right with God, even though I bet his local temple priest wasn't very happy with him. But that's
rare. His family, I mean, probably a lot of people thought he made the wrong choice.
Right.
But he was just doing what God asked.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense sometimes, but aligning with those with less power is sometimes what God is calling us to do. In fact, probably always. So, so a lot to think about in this chapter as we consider who we are in God's plan, and even paying attention to however God is leading us. Maybe we are getting dreams. I fully believe God speaks to us in dreams still, but also through other people hearing their cries for help or a need we might see. Who knows if Mary even ask him to stay with her? I don't know. I mean, but sometimes people just, we see the need and we know we need mm-hmm. to help. So let's try to do our best to listen to God, like the example of Joseph. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that you are still active in this world and that you are directing us in your way. A lot of times we put up barriers, even some barriers that we think you would approve of, or barriers that might seem right on the outside but are in conflict with what our spirits are telling us. Lord, help us to hear you, to hear your message to us, and to follow where you lead. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.